Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Genesis, Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth," God said, "that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all further generations, I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never destroy again, become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Our second scripture lesson comes from the first letter of Peter, 1 Peter 3:13 through 22. Hear the word of the Lord. "Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands that you up from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through the waters. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him." This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word this morning. And we thank you for the ways you walk with us and are present in our lives. We ask that as we proceed down the path of Lent, your word would light that path and help us as we seek to grow closer to you, as we seek to see your face. Gracious God, light our path, lift us up, and help us to be your servants. In your name we pray. Amen. There are certain scriptures that have a soundtrack for me. Certain scriptures that when I read them, there's just a song playing in the background. There's a theme song, so to speak. Some are more on the reverent side of things, like when Jesus calls the disciples and says, "I will make you fishers of men," in my head comes that children's song, "I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men." It keeps on playing in my head, sometimes all day long. So on a day I'm preparing a sermon, I'll be going to bed and starting the day the same way. "I will make you fishers of men." There are other times and other scriptures that come to mind. There's the parable of the mustard seed. And I even sometimes find myself doing the hand motions to that one. "The mustard seed, the mustard seed." You know, doing the little tiny mustard seed song. Then there are less reverent songs that pop into my head. When I read the scripture of the man who is unable to make it to Jesus, and so his fans, his friends rip open a hole in the roof so they can lower him down. That song is "The Doors Break On Through to the Other Side." Now, the scripture that comes to mind when I read this passage from Genesis always has Kermit the Frog in the background. Somehow, always reading the scripture, I start hearing Kermit the Frog on the banjo playing the Rainbow Connection. "There's so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side." There's something about rainbows that just are amazing. There's something beautiful in a rainbow. The colors, the light, the hope in a rainbow. I remember one rainy day some years ago when I was finally headed to the grocery store. I had told Sarah, I'll make the run once it stops raining. I had said that at something like 8 o'clock, and it was like 3. It had rained all day and rained cats and dogs. It had finally let up, and I was sitting in the parking lot about to get out of the car. The door was open, and I see a woman running and pointing, shouting at the top of her lungs, "Look, look, a double rainbow." Sure enough, 2 rainbows in the sky. She had her camera out and was taking picture after picture. I took my phone out, took a picture, sent it to Sarah, who was very excited. Unfortunately, I was, okay, it's a double rainbow. Not really knowing how rare and amazing they truly were. The fact is, rainbows are beautiful signs of hope, signs of a promise. Most recently, it has become different things and had different meanings. But for today, I'd like to focus on 1 and 2 meanings. Some of you will remember what feels like years ago, but not more than months ago, when schools were placed on closed and restrictions were beginning to flow and we were under stay-at-home orders. Do you remember seeing rainbows pop up in windows? Kids were putting up rainbows in their windows, so that one another could hop in a car and safely go rainbow spotting, so as to give kids an activity to do. And then from there, the rainbow morphed into a way to stand beside and stand with frontline workers like doctors and nurses. A rainbow was a sign of hope that through the storm, at the end of the horrible time, there was hope on the other side. Hope that at the end, there would be something good. Today, our concern specifically is towards that original meaning, that hope on the other side. Think about this moment. Think about where Noah and his family are. The ark has finally stopped the rolling and tossing. The waters have receded. The dove and the raven have gone out, and the dove has come back with a branch in its mouth. All through all of this, God has been with them. All through all of this, God has stood beside them through the flooding, through the loss of human and animal life. God's promise was tested and held true that God would keep these people safe. But then God blesses them. After God, the door is open and they walk on what is now dry land, God commissions them. Commissions even the animals, you might argue, and says, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. Fill the earth. And then God makes this covenant with them. God makes this promise and gives this sign of that promise. Now, normally we can look at a covenant and say, when God makes those promises, we know those are true and steadfast promises. Those promises will not be lessened with the rigors of time. Those promises will hold true forever. The other side of a covenant with God is you don't quibble. You don't counter offer. This isn't buying a car where God's written a number, a price, and handed it to you, and you scratch it out and put another. No. When God says, this is my promise to you, this is the promise. Please to note, Noah doesn't say, well, I'm okay with this part of this promise, God, but could we change this? You don't exactly notice Moses, when he is commissioned by God, trying to argue and say, God, I'd like to go to the Israelites. I really would. But can I only go to half of them, please? Just only half. The fact is, when God covenants with us, it is a promise, and it is a deal that is set on the table and given to us. Now, when we look at the rainbow, we look and see that covenant not only is just the covenant a wonderful and blessed thing, but God has given us a sign of that covenant. It's a sign of the promise that it's made. It's a sign that is in the sky as a reminder, not just to us, but to God, of that promise. Think about it. When God asks of us something, God asks us to commit to something, to give up something, to bow our will to it. The conditions of a covenant is obedience, listening to God, and God gives those covenant promises. And here, the covenant is to follow and listen. But here also, the covenant doesn't contain the normal, if you will. The covenant is, I will never do this again. You follow and listen to God. This covenant with God and Noah's family, and by proxy, us, is that we are God's people. And we have this rainbow in the sky to remind us of it. There are visible reminders of the many covenants we make in our lives. Think about this. When we get married, there's a visible sign of the promises we make, a visible sign of the covenant we make in a ring. Sometimes it's become vogue to have a unity candle, and some couples keep that candle. I know one couple back in Illinois who have a very fancy candle that God help the children if it would ever get damaged, because that is a second sign to that couple of the commitment and promises they made, their covenant together. Think of all the signs within our faith that are small signs of the covenants we have with God. Ash Wednesday marks one moment. When we are given the signs of ashes on our foreheads, usually it's with palms burnt from the previous Palm Sunday, the ashes are a sign of repentance and the need to work to restore and prepare the way of Lent for Good Friday and Easter. When we get that sign, we are covenanting to walk that path. We are committing to walk the path, to grow closer to God. Baptism is another sign in our covenant language. Baptism, which is, in our own words of the Reformed Church, a sign and a seal of God's covenant with us. When an adult or a child comes before the body of believers and is baptized, that moment isn't just that child's moment, but is a moment which reflects our own baptism, which reflects our own promises with God, our own covenants with God. Every time we see someone else baptized, it should remind us of our own baptism. Remind us, perhaps not of the day when some of us were in a nice little white baptismal gown and in our parents' arms. We probably don't remember that, many of us. But it reminds us of the promises that were made by our parents or us, and by the congregation in which we were baptized into. Rainbows are another sign of those covenants. Rainbows are a sign of God's promises. Promises of God to the earth. Brothers and sisters, if you look around, the world is filled with signs of God's love, signs of God's care, signs of God's presence. God's signs in this world aren't just limited to a rainbow in the sky on rainy days and the promises involved with that. The hope that after a good long rain, you have a rainbow in that promise. Some of the signs are continuing to change. Some are not static. Some are even experiential. Think about this. Those signs of God's love are there when you see someone who is actively in the process of grieving, and you listen to and lift up a person who is struggling. You see those signs of God's promises enacted. But I ask you, brothers and sisters, are we those signs? Are we being those signs? Rainbows are wonderful, but so too are that are wonderful are the people of God loving one another, being present in each other's lives. So too is the kingdom of God loving each other. You see, we are also signs of God's covenant promise. We are also signs of God's love in this world when we love our world, those who are in it. Children of God, we are in the midst, in the middle of a season of preparation, preparation for the day when Christ died and then died for our sins and then rose again in glory. Now, preparation comes in many forms and ways for this. One way could be by being a rainbow, a sign of hope in someone's life, a tangible sign of God's covenant of love with our brothers and sisters, being a reminder of how loved by God someone is, by being a caring presence who reminds that person, those people, that whatever is being faced or being experienced is not being faced alone. It's not being faced by just one person or one family, but being faced by all of us together. Brothers and sisters, our challenge as we go forth is to look at our world and understand that we are signs of God's love in it. We are the means by which God can love in this world. And so, brothers and sisters, let me ask you, how are we doing this? What are we doing in this? How can we be a better sign of God's love in our world? Brothers and sisters, let us challenge one another, challenge ourselves, and most of all, be a sign in our world. Amen.